What a delight it is for me, Gary Colley, to greet you from day to day and to know that you're listening on a regular basis as we study the Word of God. The Word of God is so precious to us. It is priceless in our needs, isn't it? Because it declares unto us, according to 2 Peter 1:3, by His divine power He hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue. Hence we would be foolish not to study from the Word of God to learn those directives that are so needful in life. Proverbs 14:12 reminds us, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends of that way are the ways of death. Therefore let us search the Scriptures, as they did in Acts 17:11, daily, to know whether these things are true or not. All things must be tested and proved by the Scriptures in order for us to know right from wrong. Does the spirit go directly to heaven at death? This is an important study, and many think perhaps that the soul does go to heaven immediately at death or to hell immediately at death. But the Bible does not teach that. And we need to remember that, my friends, when we hear funeral sermons that says this individual is now in the eternal home of the soul, now enjoys those mansions on the other shore, now lives in the land of unclouded day. But these sentiments just simply do not express what the Bible teaches. It doesn't matter who the man may be, he either does not know what he's talking about or he doesn't care. But we all ought to keep ourselves in the truth of the gospel and take notice of those things which are revealed therein. We've learned that Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," Luke 23:43. And we learned that paradise was not heaven, because in John 20:17, he said to the woman, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended unto my Father." He had died 3 days before, but he had not gone to heaven. He had gone to a paradise, though, but this paradise was in Hades. We learn from Acts 2 that it is prophesied of him and fulfilled, that is, his body would not be left in the grave to decay, and his spirit would not be remain in Hades, Acts 2:27. So if it was not to remain in Hades, it had been in Hades, but it had not been in heaven. Now, we rose a question yesterday as we were closing. Is there anything in the Bible that would indicate to us the characteristics of the Hadean world? I'm glad to tell you there is. And I introduce it, friends, without hesitation and certainly without apology, for I refer to the case of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. Not infrequently, when this is introduced as evidence on this matter, there is a disposition on the part of the materialist to discount its evidential value. And it's strange to me that some people smile and say, at times, "Oh, that's just a parable." I've never been able to fully appreciate that type of objection. Mention the case of the rich man and Lazarus, and somebody says, "Oh, that's just a parable." Well, do you mean it's not true? If that is not the force of what that type of objection, I do not know what one means by it. In the first place, I'm not sure that it is a parable, are you? If it is a parable, it differs from other parables in the New Testament, because it doesn't start off like a parable. The parables usually began by saying, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying." But this says, "There was a certain rich man." Now, was there? Then it is not a characteristic of parables to mention people by name either. But this account mentions Lazarus, and it does mention him by name, designates the parties participating by name. That's unusual, isn't it, for a parable? But if it is a parable, my friends, it does not change the thoughts of the thing. The etymology of the term is literally to lay down or throw down beside, to take something which is familiar, to put down beside something which is not familiar. So it is a point that makes a similitude or a comparison between two things. So a good definition of a parable would be like this. A parable is an illustration put forth to clear up some difficult truth. Now here, if we have a parable, what does it teach? Well, it teaches the same thing that it would teach if indeed it was history, and it does seem, because of the names being mentioned, that it is history. We shall continue our thoughts on this on the morrow. Our time being gone, though, we do want to extend to you a very warm invitation to be with us for our services at the Churches of Christ.